I wish I was in Dixie, AK, then shit wouldn't have been bad in the 60s. No way, no way. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lemonore. All right. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, May 18, 2025, Haitian Flag Day. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Before I continue, just a little weird thing I like to do before I start the show. I'm going to ask all you, first shout out to all you listeners, and I'm going to just ask yourself to applaud yourself. Just do that right now. Think of it as we're applauding each other. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, you know, you got curious and hit the play button. Welcome. Yay! Here's hoping something I say on this episode resonates and allows us to make history. Okay. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast41@gmail.com. And I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. Today's episode, titled 266, and I think I'm going to go with All I See is Racist Faces. So many words. I'm reacting to a story shared by content creator, the Jolly Good Ginger. It just had me thinking on my inability to let go of anger. Anyways. It'll all make sense in the featured thought section of the episode. But before we do that, we're gonna start out with some quotes and some randomness. All right. Okay, first quote. Before I forget. First quote goes: sometimes there is no support system. It's just you, the universe, and a vision only you can see. Powerful. Powerful. Next one. Your life isn't yours if you constantly care about what others think. Next one. The goal is to build a life you don't need escape from, where peace isn't something you chase, but something you live every day. Easier said than done. And what's that? I have another one. Yeah, okay, the last one. This one actually kind of caught me off guard. Okay, I'll talk about it. But it goes, at my funeral, don't cry. I've been dead inside for a long time and y'all didn't care. Now, this last one is actually showed up in the I'm 14 and this is deep. I'm 14 and this is deep. I'm dead inside. I don't know. And there's a big market that says sarcasm, and someone said this is deep. Whatever. Look, let me just get to. It's not about whether this is deep. What I am saying, what I like, it resonated. And I guess the people mocking and making fun of this quote don't see the world the same as others. Anyways, I just hate when someone here's Reza saying, and some assholes out there to say, "Cause that was stupid. Oh, you think that's deep? Whatever. What matters is that it resonates." And the reason why this one resonated for me is it made me think of the second quote I read. It goes, "Your life isn't yours if you constantly care about what others think." The reason why the funeral run resonated, hit me, is because I was thinking about a time where life just felt like one big ass pain in the ass. And the only reason, I won't say the only thing keeping me alive, but the only thing, I won't say, yeah, the only thing keeping me alive, but it sounds like I'm saying the same thing. Because it's not that accurate, it's not accurate, but I am going to say it felt like I was living life for others, for other people's satisfaction. And the worst is when, like, I really didn't want to hear, like, the worst is when you share feeling of being down, depression, discouragement, all kinds of shit, and the person listening to you makes it all about themselves. "Well, I boost myself out. I, like, pick myself up when I was down. Well, I really wanted a cookie. I couldn't get a cookie, and then I was really down. But I picked myself up and ate a salad." You know, it's just when people just don't get it. And, yeah, I guess when you find yourself, the only thing inspire you, not inspire you, the only thing motivating you to keep alive is because you don't want to make someone else cry. Which is one thing, but it's not sustainable. That's what I'm trying to say. When it's your entire life is someone else's decision, and the person who you really are is like suffocating. I don't know. I guess. Funny story. The reason why I subscribe to the I'm 14 is This Is Deep subreddit is because during my days where I was living life for other people, for other people's approval, not to say that I'm fully cured, but I recognize a period of my life where the voice inside didn't matter. It was just the voice on the outside, the people on the outside telling me what I should do, what I, and just to be clear, I'm not saying I was being bullied. I was saying in my mind, I thought my existence, I thought you lived your whole life, you lived for others in a sense that, anyway, all right, like, look, if you get it, you get it. So I'm fighting the urge to overexplain here. All right. So, I used to hang out with people who would like shit that I'd find deep or just thought was cool or whatever. It could even be like, you know, rap music, and they'd be like, "Why you listen to that bullshit?" And it's not the fact that they would be telling me why the fuck you listen to that bullshit. It's the fact that I would be like, "Oh, am I doing something wrong? I actually believe that. Oh, okay." Because their criticism equated to, "Oh, okay, I need to do some self-evaluation. I'm fucking up." As opposed to be like, because I like it. I have the right to say, this is my shit. And, right, so I was susceptible, is that the word? I was like susceptible. I don't know if that's a word in English, but I was sensitive to other people's opinion. Let's just say. And I remember, like, just shit that I found deep, I found interesting, and I would gravitate to people who would be like, who would dismiss that shit. Anyways, but I remember following that site just in case to prepare me. Like, the next time you have something you believe is deep, and if you find it in this category, it's your way of knowing that you're not supposed to find it deep. You're not supposed to let it resonate. You're not supposed to find it interesting. Now I just accidentally quotes. Now I don't know. I think I'm more amused by the people in there who like take it upon themselves to dismiss shit. To dismiss what other people might find interesting. Might resonate. But it would be cool if Reddit had a section for I'm 14, and I think that's not racist. Because a lot of the white people on Reddit, there's a lot of white people on Reddit, and they have like a 14-year-old understanding of racism. And that's a different conversation. All right, okay. All right. That's quotes are usually supposed to be short. Okay, let's jump to randomness. Excuse me. All right. Randomness. Okay. First things first. Ah, Papa freaks all the honey. Dummy. Playboy. No. Ah, Papa. Please. Okay. Okay. So why? First things first. So I'm. If you can't tell, I purchased some new headphones after the last episode. I purchased some new headphones because I was whatever. Doesn't matter. But I. Fun fact: if you want to get into podcasting, it is not recommended that you use noise-canceling headphones. Let me be more specific. Active noise-canceling. I learned all this shit last week. And active noise-canceling headphones are the ones that you have to put batteries in because it uses like some kind of program to, it actually uses a mic to hear what's on outside to cancel the noise. And it's, anyways, I bought these new headphones. They're so, because I Google best headphones for podcasts, recommended headphones for podcasts, and I've got the, and not that I want to endorse it, but not that I'm getting paid for saying this, but I was told the Sony MDR-7506. And so far, I mean, I like the sound. Just to be clear, you can use the active noise-canceling headphones for editing, but not while you're recording. It's more preferable to go with the passive ones, which is what I got on right now. And, yeah, no, it's comfortable on the ear compared to the last one that I had. The last one I was using for the last episode. Let me give you a brief history. I used to use noise-canceling headphones just because I just like the sound of just the pure sound of my voice in my ears. Then the batteries died in there. the headphones actually just broke. I'm surprised. So product by Sony. Oh, no, these were Bose headphones. But whatever, man. They broke, and then I started using these hella cheap headphones that I, I don't know. It just, something didn't feel right. And then finally, which was finally being the last episode last week, I Googled, hey, recommended headphones, and boom, got these ones. And, anyways, I'm feeling all right. Feeling okay. Just a little weird. Some of my sound effects is, I'm like, damn, I should put some more bass in that shit. But yeah, I guess all this to say, to add to what I'm saying is, yeah, if the sound was shitty, my bad, in previous episode, I just didn't catch it. I don't think they were bad, but whatever. I got better headphones now, and I feel the need to brag about it. All right, next. I wish I was, so shout out to me for remembering, for associating May 18th with Haitian Flag Day. And for those who don't know, Haitian Flag Day, Haitian, Journée du Drapeau Haïtien, La Fête du Drapeau, so I'm reading the Wikipedia entry, it goes, is a Haitian public holiday celebrating the creation of the flag of Haiti during the Haitian Revolution. The day is celebrated each year on the 18th May, which is the anniversary of the date of the flag's adoption in 1803. The day is observed officially in Haiti as well as in numerous cities in the United States that have a large Haitian population. Oh, really? What about Montreal? Anyway, all right, so there you know. If you didn't know, now you know. And I think I have, let me just confirm, I think I have something I don't. I thought I did. Okay. I should. Okay. Maybe if I find it, I'll add a link for related to Haitian Flag Day. I remember someone on TikTok posted something and I thought it was interesting. So whatever. So happy Haitian Flag Day. Rouge bleu, motherfucker. Okay. Next item. Speaking of Haiti, speaking of burning down a plantation, I don't know if you heard, but words gotten around, like the black people been celebrating about the, let me look up the article about the nation's largest remaining antebellum plantation burns to the ground. Oh, I wish I was in Dixie, aka. Okay. All right. So I'll tell you what, this is not a long one, so I'll read this one. It goes, all right. Nathaway Plantation burnt to the ground this week after a fire broke out Thursday. Authorities say. Now, you might know this place. Actually, I kind of hope you don't know this place as a Nathaway Resort. They renamed themselves, you know, fucking white people. Anyway, why it matters. The plantation was the largest antebellum mansions remaining in the South. Oh, poor diab, making it an important but complicated connection to the nation's history of enslavement. Sorry, there's a link to history of enslavement because some people don't know about that. Slavery, not. Okay, so I thought, making sure I'm not on one of these sites that these right wing sites. All right, the latest: the fire cause is still under investigation. Fox 8 reports, but the building is a total loss. Oh, says Iberville Parish President Chris Daigle. Zoom in: the 64-room mansion was built by John Hamden Randolph Cracker Whitey in the 1950s. Hold on a second. Did I say, I can't remember if I said, if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. But whatever. All right. Between the lines. The home was closed on the edge. The home was located on the edge of Mississippi River in Iberville Parish, south of Baton Rouge. In recent years, it had rebranded as Nathaway Resort and served as an event space offering tours and dining. Fuck. As I'm reading, I had the image of a white colleague inviting me to their wedding, and it's going to be on a plantation. and then seeing their feelings hurt. What do you mean no? What do you mean you won't come? What the fuck? I need a black guy there. I need a black person there so it doesn't look like I'm racist. All right, okay. If I got to tell you, don't have a wedding. If you're going to have a wedding at a plantation resort, don't invite your black friends. And if you're black, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast if I have to explain this shit. All right. His success came at the backs of enslaved people. He owned 155 of them in 1860s, records show. Public reaction to Nathaway's destruction has been mixed. You know what? I'm sure there's an, I'm not going to read the rest. I'll let you read it for yourself, right? But I'm sure there's an asshole on the internet looking for comments by black people celebrating rejoicing off a plantation burning down, and they're there in the comment section. Well, it's not right to burn the property. It's a historical some bullshit, like fucking with black people. To them, I say, I wish you were in the resort while it was burning down. I say from the bottom of my heart, I wish you were inside the resort while it burnt down. You know, if it's not clear, I don't like you. That's really what I'm trying to... But, you know, that's what these people do. They're just trolling. Now, what I am going to do is I'm going to do a quick search on the... where's the part where they say they renamed the name of the building? I'm going to do a search for the Nathaway Resort. And because I didn't know there was, you know, what's funny is how people on the internet are, some people are surprised that what people still go to plantation, go to this resort, and they're still shocked. And yeah, man, it's look, black people, we're used to the world that we live in, and we're not surprised. Yes, you don't have a wedding at a concentration camp, at a place that used to be. At a Holocaust museum or some shit like that. But there are some white people out there who feel comfortable. Who don't give up. I mean, fuck, it wasn't my ancestors that were slaves. Excuse me. Nathaway Resorts, largest antebellum mansion. Yep, I'm on their website. And, wow, it's a beautiful website. Wow. You wouldn't know if you have questions about... If you have questions about a currently scheduled event or booking for a future event or portrait session, please email tours let me see the tour page. Yeah, man. It's nothing. Like, it's really portrayed like it's not a place that used to, it used to be a plantation for, like, I'm on the website right now, and it's like, oh, man. History. There's a history section. Oh, I'm not going to read this shit. How may I help you? Accommodations, dining, tours, corporate events, association planners, corporate event. Imagine your fucking work invites you to this. Oh, I burned it down myself. Yeah. I want to be clear. I want to be established that I had nothing to do with this place burning down. I can prove it. I've been in Canada this entire time. What I do find interesting is shout out to the Three Guys On podcast who couldn't record yesterday, and he's at a Pearl Jam concert, and Randolph is moving, and Brother Mark is, I don't know what he's doing, but he wasn't on the last episode. All I'm saying is, it's an interesting coincidence that y'all weren't available yesterday, and this place burned down. You know, I think I have a movie idea where a podcaster is, you know, podcaster at day, superhero at night. Black superhero at night. All right, okay. So yeah, corporate event, association planners, wedding and social event, bridal portraits, general information. Yeah, man, they did it all. And at one point do they mention that, yeah, we used to enslave black people. Some black person was probably lynched here. Fuck. That's so wild, man. I'm looking at this. Maybe I should focus on the fact that I'm doing a podcast. But it's like they really put lipstick on a pig. Damn. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's nothing on the website about the fact that, someone burnt it down. Let me see if there's any, like... Look at these pictures. Fuck. Look at these pictures. Oh, you can have a picnic there. Wow. Oh, my God. Whew. Oh, my God. I'm so angry. Get off, Pete. Get off the website. I'm trying to imagine dating a girl. I was going to say a white girl, but it could be a black girl too, going, oh, my God, I would love to take a tour of the plantation. The Nuttin Way Plantation. I'm like, are you out your fucking mind? I wonder if I could, you know, what about sugar cane? Cane feels. They lift up the herbs. We're going to burn down the cane field. All right. Okay. Let me focus one more time. Let me get, see if there's any news. I'm surprised, how the fuck did it start burning? No details about it. Another way. Let me look this up. No Tahway Plantation. We're going to burn down the cane field. Okay, up 4.5. Look at these. Holy shit, 4.5 stars. Any new comments? We had a great time. Yeah, a lot of positive results. One, the room was not as described on the website. It was clean with modern amenities. So I'm looking at the low rating. Okay, for a family wedding. Fuck these people. Anyways, I'm glad it burnt down. Shout out to the ancestors. You know, life lets you have these moments every once in a while, right? Yeah. All I can say is, burn it down, burn it down, burn it down, burn it down. That was a scene from Do the Right Thing where someone yells after Mookie, after Mookie threw the, when they were burning down Sal's pizza place.
This makes me want to burn this motherfucker down. Come on, Boogie, let's burn this motherfucker down. Come on,
that was a scene from Harold and Kumar, Go to White Castle. Anthony Anderson, that's his name. Yeah, comedian. Whatever, that's who you just heard. Yeah, burn it down, man. Let it burn to the ground. Is there any other? Whatever, there's no update. Look, I guess I'm just is under positive. Something good that happened this week. All right, what else happened this week? All right, so apparently, red is the new black. I don't know if you've heard. There's this trend on. There's a trend online. I don't know if it's just strictly TikTok, but whatever. And that was initiated by, I believe, this sister. Let me just. I believe this is the sister, and I'll just play the clip. I believe initiated this trend.
I just need to remind y'all again, everyone who is ginger, who has red hair, those are black people. All gingers are black people. If they have red hair, they are black. You see a white man with red hair, that's a black man. You see a white woman with red hair, that's a black woman. Gingers are black. All gingers.
All right. Half of being is like, fuck no, man. I don't trust whitey. You know, Malcolm X had red hair. Yeah, that's why they used to call him Detroit Red. He had, thought it was a little weird, but, you know, biology. I've been enjoying this trend. I feel the need to share two of my ginger stories. First one is, I never gave any, okay, I used to know this one white dude, red hair white dude, and he's the one who enlightened me. I was not aware of the separation. Like, I mean, I've heard little jokes here and there about gingers or whatever, using the term gingers, but he was like, he kept referring himself as a ginger, and he kept saying, like, you know, yeah. Like, it's kind of like he wanted me to jump in on, yeah, no, it's okay. Call me a ginger, whatever, right? But he's the one who opened my eyes or made me aware of the fact that, white folks, they kind of like, they diss us for being red hair. And I'm like, but y'all are white, but cracker whites. I just see white people. But I remember him telling me his stories, and he was just brushing it off. No, he didn't go into his stories, but he helped me understand that, oh, you guys are the others. You've been treated like the others. But the one that killed me the most is being referred to as having no soul. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it was enough. He didn't go deep into it, but it was enough for me to be like, yo, motherfucker calls you ginger, we fighting. We fucking them up. But he wasn't. He was like, hey, no, it's all a joke. It's all funny and whatever. And it's like he wanted me to participate in the go ahead and make fun of us gingers type of thing. And, you know, I'm not a stuck-up person. I could laugh, too. But a part of me was like, you understand the similarities? I was too connected in the similarities in their stories. I'm like, nah, fuck that. Like, if he were to tell me, if I meet someone with red hair and he says, when you call me ginger, when I hear the word ginger, it invokes all the emotion every time people fucked with me. I'm like, say less. Won't use that word around you. But apparently, it ain't like that. But whatever. Yeah, I just thought it was weird. And you know what? It just goes down to, I just don't like human suffering, bottom line. Human suffering bothers me. Even for a punchline. But again, I might be making more of this one of those I'm offended on behalf of someone else type of situation. Like, I'm not going to go to a club and say, don't you make any ginger jokes around here. But I guess I'm sensitive to their plight. I'm sensitive to these stories. I was not open, but why would I know? I'm blacker than a trillion midnight. And the second story, ginger story, is I remember I was out with some colleagues, and I had gotten there first. We were on the outside. It was one of those sunny days, and I made sure to sing, to sit under a parasol, come on, parasol, like an umbrella, under the shade. I was like comfortable under the shade. We were on the outside, you know, with the colleagues, right? Then friends came over, and the one homie who showed up, he had red hair, he had a baseball cap. But poor soul, this dude was not under the shade. And I could see the heat. The sun just like it's like someone put a magnifying glass over him, right? And I, he had his hat on, but it was protected, but I could see the sufferance. Poor, oh man, a poor bastard. And a part of me felt like, hey, since I got all this melanin, maybe I should ask to trade space with him. Fuck that. I didn't do that. Sorry. I didn't do that. But I did. But I did. As I watched him, I wasn't enjoying it. I want to be clear. But it just, I remember being in this situation. I'm like, yo, that's right. That sun might be fucking with him way more than it would be fucking with me. Because he was sweating and everything, but he was being a trooper. He was tolerating it. But I remember a part of me nearly said, hey, let's trade spaces because I see you're suffering. And then I remember slavery. I'm like, nah, fuck that. For all I know it, your ancestors owned a boat that my ancestor came in. You know, all I see is racist faces, gang. That's, yeah, man, that's my two. Look, okay, where I'm going with this. Oh, I should bring up, I was enjoying this whole red is the new black, gingers are the new black people. I was enjoying it. Like, I was enjoying all the, everyone sharing their stories, like, okay, so you do understand what it's like to be an other, to be considered an other. Oh, so you do understand for shit you that's outside of your control. Did Jesus have red hair? I'm kidding. Right. No, you do understand this. I say all this, but there's, of course, pure whiteness in there. There's a white guy or a red haired white guy who ruined it. He goes, oh, so I guess I could say the N-word. Of course, it had to come. I'm saying, look, dear white people, dear white gingers, if you want to keep this tread going, y'all have to do something about that guy. Off with his head. You gotta offer him as a sacrifice and you guys can still hang out. And yeah, anyway, whatever. Okay. I'm saying all this, but hey, I was not aware of your stories. Well, actually, I was, but I didn't really realize it went that deep. And I think it's fucked up, man. People suck. I was going to say, people suck. That's all I'm going to say. All right, okay. sorry, one last thought. I remember I was watching, I went to go see a movie with a friend of mine, and she had red hair. Oh, she's like Irish descent. And she was joking. She said, yo, why the fuck they make the villain Irish? Should have made him Scottish. I got to Google. Who's more racist? I don't get me wrong. I know Ireland's got like a lot of similar, like they've been down with the movement, with the Black Panther movements. They've shown some solidarity and shit like that. So, you know, I got not much love for Ireland. But I don't know shit about Scotland. So now I got to Google the history of racism in that fucking country. But whatever. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. So that's it for quotes and randomness. I guess we're going to wrap this up because we're going to wrap this up. So we're going to jump to feature thought. But before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break.
The scene behind me is a plantation house in Louisiana that is burned down. It's burning down in this video. But this is not just any plantation house. This was the largest antebellum plantation house in the South, owned by one of the richest enslavers in the South. This is the Nottoway Plantation in Louisiana. It was built by enslaved Africans in 1859. It was owned by this guy, John Randolph. Now, John wasn't even from Louisiana. He was from Virginia originally, but he came from a wealthy slave-owning family, and his dad was hired by the federal government to do something in Louisiana, and he moved with him. Now, originally, he wanted to make it into a cotton plantation, the same type of plantation that he was used to in Virginia. But he noticed that the climate in Louisiana was a lot different, so he changed it to a sugar plantation. And because of that, he ended up tripling his family's wealth. John Randolph enslaved 176 people. But the plantation house itself was built around the same time as the Civil War. John didn't want to fight in the Civil War. He was scared. So he sent three of his sons and he asked, how much money do I have to give to keep me out of this? And he was a huge financial backer of the Confederacy in Louisiana. When he realized that the Confederacy was losing, he left his wife in Louisiana, took 200 slaves, and went to Texas. Once the Civil War was over, he contracted with 53 bonded people, basically people that owed him money and were working to pay it off. It's just another form of slavery. He eventually died in 1883, and his wife eventually sold the plantation for $50,000. That's the equivalent of $1.9 million today. And now he has no legacy at all.
There you have it. I forgot I had this clip. This link is, the clip that I just played is, the content creator's name is Def Notent. Def Notent. I'm not sure if I'm reading that right. Def, en français, ça serait Def Notent. You English people in your words. But yeah, all right, okay. I meant to play this during the randomness section about the wedding venue. In the other links section, it's titled as One Less Wedding Venue for the Rhythmless Nation. Some of it, yeah. Burn it down, burn it down, burn it down, burn it down, burn it down. Right. Sorry. I was scrolling through this comment section, and there's a picture of three sisters. They're actually at the place watching it burn down, and they've taken a selfie. It's beautiful. It's the smile on their face. Their smile is our smile. I love the solidarity, man. I love how watching that picture, I can tell they feel what I feel. That's what makes me smile about it. Yeah, man. Fuck them. All right. Fuck them. Okay. All right. Focus, B. Now, final thoughts. Don't shoot. Let them burn. Okay. Okay. Today's feature thought was inspired by a story Jolly Good Ginger shared on TikTok. Now, I'm not going to play it. I'm going to try to do my best to summarize it, give you like the major takeaway, but I do encourage you to listen to his story, to his explanation, to his rendition. Excuse me. It's a powerful story, and I should point out that Jolly Good Ginger is actually a content creator that I admire. His journey reflects something about this podcast, a recurring theme on this podcast, which is growth, changing. Growth, changing, yeah, pretty much. Being better than the person you were yesterday. And he talks a lot, and I can sense it. He talks a lot how, yo, when I was young, I was a racist kid, man. I was racist. My dad was racist. My mom, I mean, she was like, she married to this racist dude, and, you know, she like followed in his footsteps. And you could tell he started out with racist. And then, boom. Something changed. A black person saved his life. No, I'm kidding. No, he's a human being. He had a change, more information, and then gathered more information came his way and allowed him to have a difference in opinion. Now, I feel that's a rare trait for a human being to have. I used to say that a rare trait for a white person to have, but no, for a human being, I've seen it. Like, kind of like me. No, I'm not gonna think about me, but I celebrate. I admire that strength in human beings. Now, his story was—it's a bit more specific about his journey, going from starting out as a racist kid. Dude, he's from the South. and he grew out of that shit. And here, let me just give you the quick summary. He, the what I remember is when he was a kid, his mom married this abusive man who's also racist. They had him, and of course she's like, he starts imitating his dad. Then they ended up having a divorce. His mom and dad have a divorce. And I thought it was fucked up. Is she ends up marrying a black dude. I'm like, what the fuck? Hey, whatever. That's not the point. She ends up marrying a black dude. He, in the divorce, he ends up, oh my God, no, I was going to say he ends up choosing his dad. No, actually, the judge gave his dad custody of him because he was in the South. They're like, what the fuck? Your wife married a nigger. Oh, yeah, whatever. So they, you know, gave him custody. And also, he was the sole breadwinner and all that shit. But whatever. He ended up living with his dad. So as a result, he, like, absorbed. His worldview came from his dad. And look at me, eh? Like, sympathizing with a white man. Anyway, so he held his mom. Finally, like, fought to get visitation rights. You could tell, yo, dear mama. This is a story about dear mama. Like, his mom fought for visitation rights. And the love between a child, a parent and their child is one of those things I'll never fully grasp. Or at least not from the perspective of the parent. Whatever. So, I remember he said that, yo, I'm going to make it my duty that she's going to abandon me. Fuck that, you know. I guess her marrying with a black dude kind of like fucked with his dad and also fucked with him. So he said that, yo, I'm going to treat her like the N-word lover that she is. And she's, you know what, again, I'm not doing the story justice. You should hear from him, but I'm going to focus on the high point, on the important part. So I guess he let his racism show, or he was just cruel with his mom. And he was intentional. And like, he did it with the purpose of, leave me alone, lady. And he talks about how his mom, next week or the next cycle of their visitation rights, he showed up. Oh, he talked about how he told his dad, don't worry, dad, she's not coming back. And she ended up coming back. And it's a powerful story, man. She ended up coming back. But essentially, she didn't give up on him. That's what's so powerful. Then finally, at some point, he ends up in the custody with his mom, living with her new man who is black. And he had his own kids. And he rolled with it, man. I guess he rolled with it. But this is the part I'm a little confused at what point. But I think he let them know that, yeah, man, I don't like you people, something like that, whatever. But eventually, at some point, he grew out of it. Yeah, he just snapped out of it. And, like, he doesn't say, yeah, no, no, he said, yeah, his new family, they were embracing and shit, like, oh, and also, I guess it fucked with him because he was told about black people. Now he's living with that, like, he's encountering actual black people. And it's like, oh, whoa, you motherfuckers are human beings, whoa, what the fuck? Kind of remind, no, I mean, not that it's a, not, not that it's a, there's similarities. Not to say that it's the same, but the similarities is things, a lot of things changed in me when I spent 2 years in the United States. It's different to seeing Americans on television and being amongst it. I'm being like, oh, y'all human beings. Like, have that moment. It's like, oh, okay, wow. I've been working with this perception of Americans, and it's like, yeah, y'all just like us, except y'all say A at the end of a sentence. No, at the beginning of a sentence. We say them at the, whatever, sorry. I'm stealing someone else's joke. Anyway, yeah, so then his, I guess, moving with this new parent, like, sent him on his journey to be the man he is today. The man that I, like, speak about and I speak about with admiration. But I'm hearing this story, as powerful as it was, I kept listening to his story and picture myself being one of his siblings, his step-sibling. And trying to think of the first time that dude would have dropped the N-word around me, I would have never forgiven him for that. You know? And I want to be clear. As much as I speak about growth and all that kind of shit, that I know that I'm talking about a toxic trick of mine. And while thinking about that idea, it just set me on an idea of I was considering making this the title of today's episode is I will never forgive white people for racism. And I don't think I should. That's not part, it's not toxic. It's just it is what it is. Why do you want to think like and just maybe just to establish that. Okay, let me read my notes here. Okay. Never forgive white people for okay, I want to establish that I think I still struggle with the concept of forgiveness and not forgetting. I think of when Trudeau, when it came out that he did blackface. Yeah, I was angry. Pissed me off. It bothered. I was bothered, but I was also like, yeah, but you're white. Like, the way I survive as a black man in a white world, in my mind, every white person I encountered, I've already imagined you doing racist shit, saying something racist, being atrocious. I've even embellished it so I could brace myself for impact when it does happen. Like, white people go through racism being like, nah, focus on the positive. At least I'm not racist. Maybe they are, but I'm not. Or the world ain't as racist as you black people make it. Nah, I wouldn't survive as a black person seeing the world the way you do it. I've tried. I've tried and it hasn't worked out. So yeah, no, I've conditioned myself to always see racist faces. Pure coincidence I was thinking about a subject. I was thinking about this theme and I was listening to the song by Tupac, Changes. It was, all I see is racist faces and it just stuck to me. getting back to, I'm still struggling with the concept of forgiveness and not forgetting. This has also applied to my, I had an ex who, the first time I remember being introduced to the concept of letting go, this was a therapist telling me about letting go. And I'm like, it didn't understand. I'm like, letting go. I'm thinking of tangible shit. It didn't make sense of what do you mean? Bitch, I'm angry. And you're just telling me to let it go. Like, it just didn't make sense. But I remember how I healed from a bad relationship. I did heal from it, but I still hadn't let go of that anger from that relationship. First, I remember being angry at the ex for the failure. And then after being educated and realized that, oh, well, I take responsibility for your action because you're the one who picked her. Then after that, whatever hatred I had for her went all towards me, and I was just going through life unable to forgive myself for putting myself in that situation. So I guess I'm trying to say that when it comes to pain healing, there's certain pains that I don't know how to let it go. I'm pointing it out, but okay, maybe two things. It might be either I don't know how to let go, or I don't want to let go. I am, and at the same time is, I don't see this as something I need to heal from. I was thinking on, for those of you who are fans of The Black Guy Who Tips, or who are not fans of The Black Guy Who Tips, who don't listen to the podcast, The Black Guy Who Tips, they have a segment called Fucking With Black People. And the way that I would describe it is where they read articles of black people getting fucked with, and they rate it on a score from 0 to 100. Like, how fucked with do you feel about? And they are not short on content. There's always content. That segment is a little difficult for me to handle. It's meant to be getting fucked with, but also we're laughing at it. No, not laugh, but it's there's not a lot of humor in that segment, but it's just, it is what it is. And I can't play that game. I mean, I can listen to that segment, but I got to be very careful. I got to be mindful. I felt like joking, like every segment I'm at 100. They're able to like, it wasn't that bad. They fucked with black people, but I don't like their skin is the way thicker than mine. I think what I'm saying all this, it's just the realization is my inability to let shit go is the reason why I have difficulty with that segment. Now, I can hear a whole bunch of you of, no, you got to let go. You got to heal and stuff like that. And to you, I said, fuck you. This is not what it's about. I am not talking about solutions. I'm not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing. I'm just confessing. I'm admitting. I'm acknowledging that, like, listening to that jolly good ginger story about being a sibling, I'm just trying to imagine. Yeah, being a sibling. One of his step-sibling. And this white boy drops the N-word. Now, here's the thing. I could probably smile. I could probably, hang out and all things. But at the core, there will always be that resentment. And if he's as sensitive as I am, he'll catch that on me. Like, I'll smile. I'll be all chummy. Yeah, like, I can hide hurt. But that hurt will always be there. When I brought up Trudeau's blackface, yeah, a lot of these white people just don't get it. I hate when white people post Trudeau in blackface, like trying to remind me, like I have never seen it. Trust me, it's engraved in my head. It's always going to be that fucked up shit Trudeau did. But the two things I still respect about Trudeau is everything he did after. Because yes, you can't change the past. But at least he gave me, one, he acknowledged that, yeah, what I did was fucked up. Was what, as opposed to, no, it wasn't that racist. Just him acknowledging what he did was whack. Is like, puts him on a higher level than the average white person. Because most white people are like, no, that's not racist. Black people got to make sure I don't know what your problem is. Like, it's always like gaslighting. It's always like, is the word, normalizing negative behavior. Like, and dismissing whatever black people have to say about blackface. Two, he gives me he shows me an example of, yeah, you can't change the past. But you can try to make better decisions now. You can try to be the best you can hope for is live a life now that shows the rest of the world that, oh, you're no longer that person. You're better than that person. You're better than the person who did blackface. With that said, he knows that in my mind, I will always remember, I will always, engrave is seared into my head, is image of you in blackface. Sometimes I wonder if does this affect my ability to have a close relationship with a white person? I don't know. Like, there will never be a, yeah, I was going to say there will never be a, I forget what the word is. There will never be, there will never be a moment where I won't let go. It will always come up. Again, I'm a sensitive soul. Pain, like, hits me deep. And maybe that's why it's hard for me to let go. I talk about it. I could probably Google what's the difference between forgiveness and not forgetting. I'm not doing that because part of me doesn't want to know the difference. It's like I don't want to get talked into. I don't ever want to forget. I don't ever want to But then I think about if the shoes was, what if, God forbid, I do something to someone that hurts them unintentionally? I mean, yes, I would want to be forgiven, but no, I guess I would allow the other person to do what you, whatever you need to do. If it's no longer talk to me, like, it'll be my mistake. It'll be my cost. It'll be my penalty. You know what? I think this entire thought was just, if I'm focusing, is my inability to let go. Maybe that's how I'm going to summarize today's featured thought. Excuse me, which I thought, actually, that's what I did. All right. I'm going to stop talking more than I need to. I'm going to wrap this up. Did I mention it's May 2 for a weekend? I think the tradition is to drink beer. Not me. I'm getting high. All right. Okay. I will, I'm going to end here and say thank you for listening. This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And before I end this episode, before I hit stop, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. And happy Haitian Flag Day. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast might not be for you. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.